Interactive, when interactive wasn't cool. Exclusively on Cable TV, CRN, the Cable Radio Network, the radio channel.
On the UFO landing pad tonight, a taste of Halloween fright. Ufology has monsters these days, cause the aliens aren't always grays. Just ask the guy known as John Keel, whose books have a creepier feel than those by writers whose fame and stories are all much the same. The Mothman that Keel wrote about had no neck or discernible snout. The creature would flash its red eyes at unwary humans whose cries rang out in the southern midnight. Then Mothman would quickly take flight with wings like a huge angry bat and screeching that could knock someone flat. Yes, UFOs were seen where he was, and the town of Point Pleasant would buzz with stories of saucers and such that Mothman, he's really too much. Now the town's quiet, we hear, and the townsfolk have nothing to fear. But that doesn't mean we're home free, since monsters and aliens can be both terrifying and ugly to boot. Though that point is really quite moot, you see, the real bottom line is that aliens aren't just one kind. They've been reported with fur, with a tail, and the fangs of a cur, with claws, with scales, and with slime, and even with pancakes one time. The point is that grays aren't alone. That E.T. hasn't phoned home, that most of us haven't a clue, and something could even get you. But remember, this Halloween verse, it really could have been much worse. For one thing, it could have been longer, or the creepiness much stronger, and my Dracula voice much dumber. Well, I hope it wasn't a bummer. Stay tuned, and you just may find spook tales of another kind. And don't forget the fun we've had on the UFO landing pad. This UFO landing pad segment is brought to you by the best UFO publication in the known universe, UFO Magazine. I'm Vicki Cooper. Now back to Don and his guests Bill Bridges and Dave Torelli on UFOs Tonight.
Go ahead and laugh. We're still back. Hey, speaking of being back, one of the things that we were... Jeff, are you listening in there in the control booth? Do you have that other song? This is a song I think I want to play just a little piece of to get us back into the mood to talk about an area called Dreamland. And as soon as Jeff gets it, here it comes.
Far below our cities as they sleep, beneath the mountains high and oceans deep. Passages leading to the gates of hell, to caverns where the slaves of darkness dwell.
What do you think, guys? Did he have something there?
Yeah,
you think?
He had something.
That's the MIB. Long promised CD disc to come out, and they better take some ads out on this show, I might add. But, you know, it's true. Dreamland, there's probably no place in the world today that's not more universally known. If you mention UFOs, then Area 51, Dreamland,
yeah, that's right.
The ranch, Watertown down, or
Watertown, Red Square, as it's referred to by some. If we're into that subject, those that are very familiar with the area will know about Sam's Place, which is a officer's bar going in gate 700 to your left prior to entering 51 and before you can even see Papoose Lake. There's a whole community out there, Don, as you can imagine, and the test site and all of its radioactive fineness offered them a massive playground, 89,000 acres of which were seized, as you know,
yeah.
Which is kind of what ticked off the people out in Vegas.
Well, you know, if you get right down to it, Nevada is a military dictatorship.
Well,
where the Constitution has been abrogated. Prior to the most recent Air Force acquisition of land out there, there were certain areas which were public land, BLM land, where people could legally go, but yet they still were harassed by both official as well as unofficial authorities. People were held up at gunpoint. They had their property taken away. Some people were... there were even some unconfirmed reports from a number of years ago that before all the hoopla, people had been shot dead out there. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. As a matter of fact, I got that from probably one of the more questionable sources in the UFO field today, Bill Moore.
Mm-hmm.
But Moore told me that specifically.
Well, there's no doubt about the fact that the teams that used to run security out there, which I want to mention that very briefly, do have the authorized right. Without question, to take out anybody that shouldn't be there. You're talking about a gridded ground sensors, ammonia detectors, Bald Mountain, a built-in version of a surveillance op that anything that enters the desert floor there, once they come up 375 on the curve, it's Pat Travis herself that stated on one of George Knapp's specials. I actually have the exact quote, but I'll paraphrase so I don't have to find it. She says, anytime something strange happens here, and that's the little alien, they know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And George says, well, you mean the security types? Those were exactly his words in his question. And she says, oh, yes. She says everything. She says anybody that, anything going on weird, anybody that says anything strange or does anything, she says they know about it. Well, she should know. Joe used to work at the site, which is her husband. They had a particular event out there. Actually, it was Hayek Hollenschultz, one of their little UFO get-togethers out there at the site, and there were good people connected that have unfortunately been placed in the same thought process when those names are mentioned that did not go along with the overall theories and philosophies of those two that were good people and did have good intentions and wanted to get to the bottom and wanted to find out and liked the mystery and had the cojones to go out there and take charge and brave the weather and the forces and everything else. But Lazar himself, going back to that for just a minute, stated when he came out with that name Dennis Mariani and very quickly told Knapp, no, the real name was Bob Lazar. The name that he was covering for is a guy by the name of Nick Aquilina. And interestingly enough, that name, I can say that name publicly because in a dedication ceremony that Nellis had at one of the hangars at 51, it was Billy G. McCoy, who was then the military charge d'affaires at the site. And he said at a public podium that we have on videotape, he says, well, you know, he says, we're dedicating this area today and this property, and he says, I want to bring this up, and he says, of course, he says, the other facility that we're talking about, and at this point you can hear a little bit of laughter in the audience, and he says, we don't know anything about it, and a smile comes to his face, and he says, because, he says, quite frankly, he says, that's where Nick and his group of, and he stops before he makes the statement, group of whatever, he says, have their secret projects, and we understand they're doing free dental work now for the Air Force with their aliens they keep underground. Now that was,
that tongue-in-cheek?
Yes, partly, but, you know, once again, I don't think, there's no comedian that doesn't have a fact base on what he's making jest of.
Well, you know, in one of Knapp's UFO specials, there was an Air Force general that was, I believe, it might have been, and I'm trying to remember specifically who it was, it might have been the commanding officer of Nellis,
mm-hmm.
that they were interviewing along with Ben Rich in a different segment. But this guy mentioned something to the effect of, oh yeah, that's where we keep the little green men, ha ha ha, and he really cracked up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's almost a quarter after the hour. When we come back from break, I want to throw the phone lines open because, you know, we're going to be out of time here in 45 minutes. But was there something specifically
about
anything that you wanted to cover or you wanted to mention before I open the phone lines?
Okay, yeah, just very briefly, this article was from, if anybody wants to refer to it, July 15th of 92, and it involves the crash of a B-105 Messerschmitt helicopter out there with Wackenhut personnel on board.
I remember that.
Okay. First of all,
about
the weather.
3 or 4 years ago?
Correct.
Yeah.
The title of this article is DOE Ordered Non-Emergency Flights Ended. Now, interestingly enough, this is just a few days before this public meeting occurred. Well, let me just get right in. Going into the article, the sub-headline to it is, a security officer says the trio wouldn't have died if orders had been obeyed to avoid any flight training. Now, we happened to come across this article, and right here mentioned by name, Nick Aquilina, manager of the Energy Department's Nevada operations in Las Vegas. Now, not to go into the incredible heightened state of militarization that's happened to the DOE and their clearance level and their position in our great country, but let me just quickly before we break here give the excuse he gave. This is the head of the DOE's operations, basically Lazar's boss. That's a fact. And let me tell you what he said when they found out why they couldn't give any records out on who died in the crash. For example, when Kehli's panel tried to obtain training records for Wackenhut officers on the airborne response team, the panel found that all of the records and copies were lost when, according to Aquilina, the file cabinet in which they were stored outside the hangar was tipped over and all of these records blew away during a local storm. I mean, that's the old dog ate my homework story. And here's the head of the DOE telling the official government investigative panel, Kehli, that we can't give them to you because we kept all our file folders and files outside, and I'll be damned if one didn't tip over.
Well, you know, when that particular story ran, if I remember correctly, there were a lot of rumors going around that some quote-unquote Wackenhut security personnel that couldn't take what was going on any longer had grabbed some files, were attempting to fly out, go to a television news station or a newspaper or something, and they were shot down.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that clearly. I mean, the paranoid element was so much into that. Do you think that it was a legitimate crash?
Just gut feelings, no, and even in this article it states that there's no excuse, there should not have been, there were actually rules of the base and in-flight rules of personnel involved with EG&G and Wackenhut that the people on board that helicopter at that time of night should not have even been up. and they can't even explain that. That's when the investigation of the government got going. And once it got started, this was where it dropped dead. When Aquilina said the files blew across the desert in a storm, sorry.
End of story. Okay, we got to take a break. And when we come back, I'm throwing the phone lines open. So
I'm sure many of you are going to have comments now, so now's your time to call in.
And I wasn't done. Can I finish?
I guess.
I'm going to throw the phone lines open as soon as we come back from break. So if you are ready, get ready to copy down those telephone numbers. Get your questions in order because we're going to start ripping through. We're running a little short on time tonight. So stand by, and when we come back, your phone calls.
Boys.
Okay, we are back. We're going to start taking your phone calls. The lines are open. So if you've been waiting to call, go ahead. Before we start going to the phones, let me ask, Dave, let me ask you a question. We've talked about the Lazar story, Area 51. We've kicked it around a little bit tonight. Do you think that there's any validity to that story? What's your bottom line?
Well, I think the analogy and the reason I brought it up, thank you again, Don, for the reminder, is because that balance the cup thing has relationship in every aspect of all of our lives. Balance is kind of the key. Lazar and what he stated, sometimes it's a strange concept. Bill and I have talked about it a few times. Sometimes you can tell somebody the truth about something, and it's the elements of the truth that you choose to tell them and the convenient elements of truth you choose to leave out that might as well be a lie. For the way it's used, and you have to, I mean, you've been in the field long enough to know the intelligence agencies are artists at that. They know just what to play, how to play it, and the name of the game now is not inserting agents into the field to directly do something. No, it's the control of the perception of the public.
It's always been
that's
the bottom line.
Exactly, because if you control the perception, it's not so offensive to the public, and they're not so immediately defensive. Now, the problem is there's two definite situations here that exist. One, a perception can be controlled to lead you down the John Lear path. And the other problem is the perception can be controlled to lead you down this, for lack of a better word, the C-SETI path. I think with anything, we need to hit a common balance between those two points. With the type of facts that we're talking about tonight, that are available out there. I tell you, if tomorrow something landed and the government and the people all pointed at the government and said, you lied to us and you never told us about this, just the information publicly available that I myself have seen and compiled over the past 15 years, that information alone, the government can, now granted, it's going to be a yeah, right, and a kick in the ass, but the government can say, hey, it's not like you guys didn't know this. It's not that the facts weren't out there for you to put this together on your own.
Well, before, and let's make this a quick one because I got to start taking some calls.
Okay.
But before I go to Springfield, Massachusetts with my first call, let me ask you this. What, in your opinion, makes this such a fertile field for manipulation?
Oh, I think just the esoteric factor alone is just one area. The Lazar scenario played out, and this is a fact that I think if you or Vicky or Bill or I put ourselves in the same position after you did what you did and you did the specials and everything else for the government, wouldn't you change your residence, especially when it was printed in not only above top secret,
yeah,
but you know, known by passersby. I mean, there were traffic block, you know, literally lines, like the house with the Christmas lights at the corner every Christmas that does their house up. This is the kind of traffic line that neighborhood got after this.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you have moved unless you were serving an interest? Everybody and everybody's full brother, cousin, and everything in between latches onto the ride here in this UFO field. And the problem is we have to as a field make ourselves aware of it, bind to the facts that we can prove, and as a united front, go, no matter CSETI, no matter who, stand under one flag that we can all say, this is fact and we know this to be true.
Well, unfortunately, that's never going to happen.
Well, if it never happens, then the public better realize that they're never going to get at any level of the truth.
Well, that's bottom line. I got to get some phone calls in here before the listeners come down to the station and string us up. I'm going to go to John in Springfield, Massachusetts, joining us on satellite. John, good evening. Well, I can just barely hear you. Can you speak up a little?
Can you hear me now?
Much better.
Okay. I can only get you between this time of year, about the 25th of October and the 25th of May, because of the leaves on the trees.
Chainsaw, John. Chainsaw.
Blocking my satellite.
Chainsaw, axe.
Oh, I'll tell you, if there's that such thing as seasonally affective disorder in the wintertime, it doesn't exist for me, but it exists in the summer when I can't get you. But I talk to people all over the countryside in business, and I hear a lot from people in Nevada saying, you know, those people going out there to see the usual tour, if they just go to the east of all that, I guess up near Hico or someplace like that, that there's a lot more action they can see at nighttime because these craft are taking off for their trips to Belgium and such places like that. I don't know if you've heard anything like that.
Yeah, this is David. That's true, John, and not only do we have them directly to our east, we have a whole arrangement of them directly to our north. Some of the contractors, it's rather interesting. There was a party that took a flight in a private plane that videotaped some of these sites. Now, you're talking here about airspace that has not been restricted, John.
Right.
And you sound a little older, I don't know, you know, but depending on your military involvement, there's a whole school of thought in one aspect of the military and intelligence called hide in plain sight. And that's exactly what these contractors have done. Runways that are far too short for conventional craft, and I'll be damned if the pilot that was flying this on videotape didn't know the reason for the charter of why the people were interested in taking this flight. And he says out of the blue, you know, you see that square triangle down there at the end of that runway, by the way, marked with an X, meaning no aircraft.
A square triangle?
Well, I mean, it was a square, but the way it was positioned on the tarmac, it looked like a diamond, you know. He says that lighter part of the cement down there, that triangle, it disappears. He says it goes down. And I'll be damned if it comes up. And he says, we see lights out here at night. Now, this guy was questioned further along the line, and I tell you, this guy, not only did he not have an interest in UFOs, he probably would have dropped off the people that were asking the questions from the air if anybody would have brought it up, that that's why they were flying over this area. During the middle of, the middle of winter, there's videotape of all kinds of snow on some of the mountaintops. That's right where the California Poppy Reserve is, State Park. You come across a mountain that's on this property that has no snow on it. And this mountain sits above the rest of the mountain line. Now, what kind of heat's being generated, or what kind of force is being generated from underneath this hilltop? You know, you have to ask yourself questions like that, and your point's well taken, John, because there you don't need to go to 51 anymore. Not to say that people might not still see things out there.
Those type of facilities are here in Southern California.
That's right.
Around Lancaster, Tehachapi, there are a number of spots where people like Lockheed, Martin Marietta, what have you, have R&D sites.
Yeah, there's also another thing I'd like to bring up. I hear all this talk about these aliens...
50 seconds, John.
Eating blood or dipping their hands into it. Maybe that's nothing more than the stuff to construct more newer races or newer beings.
It's fairy tales, stories.
I think it's garbage.
Right.
It is a new evil empire, though, if you think about it, John, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's a lot of the right-wing conservative religious people that are trying to get counsel people on UFOs and counseling, and they're grabbing them for Jesus.
There's a whole element, 15 seconds here, and we got to take a break, but there's a whole element that have tried to turn this into the aspect of a demonic or satanic
You've
thing.
You've got to watch who you go to for counseling.
You got it. John, we got to run. Thanks for your call. Keep those eyes pointed up. My name is Don Ecker, the show UFOs Tonight. We're going to try to get this break on time. You have been listening to UFOs Tonight's topic, conspiracy and UFOs. My guests in studio, Bill Bridges, Dave Torelli. We're going to be back in just a moment taking your phone calls. We're back. Oh, boy, are we back. And we are going to go to Jim in Eagle Rock, calling in on Century. Jim, good evening.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're all fine.
That's good. I want to talk about Sean Morton a little.
Oh, sure.
Does he still live in California?
Yes, he does, Jim.
He keeps telling we're going
That's
in the ocean, but
Sean
he never leaves, you know?
Yeah. He likes you to put the word reverend in front of it now.
Oh, reverend,
Jim.
Excuse me, yeah, I'll bow a thousand times.
We don't want to tick him off.
I heard this in the sake
Come on now, don't get too dry with your humor, Jim.
Well, that's okay, I'm sorry. I heard this in the 60s, that we would be in the ocean by 1980. And we're not there yet.
Well, you know, that's why I moved out here. I always have been looking for beachfront property.
Really? And the other one is the CSETI group. They say they flash bright lights at UFOs.
Didn't you hear my show a few weeks ago?
Yes, I did. It was excellent. You took them apart really good.
Well, the one that was identified as a positive, like you heard if you watched that 48-hour special yourself, turned out to be campers.
Mm-hmm. No, it's probably a UFO disguised as a camper. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Well, anyway, if they did that and they think they're reacting to them, maybe they're trying to avoid the bright lights. You know.
Like you do with brights on, somebody's got their brights on coming towards you.
Yeah, because you can get blind if you're flying at night and all of a sudden, boom, you're hit, you're blind.
Well, unfortunately, some of the CSETI people choose to react more like a deer in headlights.
You got a point there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I found out later when we had a chance to do a little research on that a number of those folks had been involved several years ago with Whitley Strieber's Communion.
Mm-hmm.
Foundation, and basically, I guess the kindest way to say it, they came from a very believer-oriented position, and the lack of critical thinking I found particularly heinous. But that's just me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one more thing, would you please tell my Art Bell that Billy Myers is a fake?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. Is it Jim?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jim. You know, something that never came up that was kind of, I don't know, somewhat amusing to some of us was the fact that Bob Lazar purposely went out of his way to state that the craft that he saw while working at the site and worked on was the so-called sport model, and he himself, in his own words, many times identified the craft as the same craft Billy Myers saw. But nobody's reckoned with the fact that the people inside the craft that Billy Meyer claims to have had contact with were very large 7 and 8 foot Pleiadians, and the people that are
and
inferred
the blonde Pleiadian
right.
females were total babes from what I understand.
I think she sleeps with a relative of the Reverend, as a matter of fact.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Dr. Fred Bell.
You said the name, Don. I didn't.
Dr. Fred Bell, who sells pyramids that people can sleep under to be re-energized, relayed the story on how he spent an hour and a half or 2.5 or maybe it was 4 weeks with his head in Semyonov's lap. Now, I always went by the understanding that, God, I wish I could do that.
Yeah,
I wouldn't tell my wife about it, who's sitting 2 feet across from me here. But this was
in the interest of investigation.
I'm in the wrong part of the United States. Nobody like that.
People believe this.
People flock to this,
and it's really sad.
It is really.
Okay, well, Jim.
Okay, well, that does.
Once again, always. Did you have a hard time getting through tonight?
No, it's real easy.
Oh, good.
Don't say that.
Good. Well, he was calling
well, not
me.
Not that way.
Jim was calling me last week at the office, and he said, "Man, he said I've been trying to call you at the show, and I just can't get through." So.
Well, for the last 3 weeks, it's been, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it's been a lot easier for some reason.
Good.
Can I?
A conspiracy, for sure.
Here's a little anecdote, by the way, that I picked up in my last trip to Las Vegas about Area 51. You're talking about the East Border. And this involves a very rather well-known person, Jerry Tarkanian. You know who he is? He was the coach of the UNLV basketball team that was highly successful, you know, and really happening, and then they got busted for NCAA violations. Well, in the midst of all this, when Jerry Tarkanian is in the middle of this battle for his job and losing the status of the NCAA for his team, he's on a flight back with his wife in a Learjet, and they're coming back south towards Las Vegas, and they're flying along the eastern perimeter of Red Square. Red Square being the area of the Nellis Range, which you cannot fly over. You remember, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And his wife looks out the window and says, "What the heck is that?" And they see through the clouds below them this round craft with blue and white lights spinning around it. And it comes up, and it's moving in the same direction as their plane. And she calls her husband's attention to it. And they're all just stunned. The whole everybody in the little plane sees the pilot, sees it, and this thing paces them for a while. It's kind of in and out of clouds. And it was a disc, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going, "Oh, my God." Oh, and who else is aboard? I think the lieutenant governor of Nevada was on the flight, too. And Jerry's wife is going, "Oh, my God, I can hardly get back. We've seen a UFO. We've seen a UFO. I can hardly tell people about it." And Tarkanian, who is in the midst of fighting for his life and his job and everything else, goes, "Don't you dare mention anything about this."
Yeah, I can see why.
Okay, Jim, take care.
Okay.
We're going to go to, is that John in Yucaipa?
Hello.
Hello, is that John?
Yes, this is John.
John, good evening.
Hello, Don.
Calling in from TCI.
Right.
Yes, this is Don.
I just want to say hello to Don, Bill, and Dave. How you doing?
Good, thank
Pretty
you.
Pretty good. How you doing, Don?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about several things. One of them is about Lazar working again for the government in Los Alamos.
Right.
I think it's a good ploy to put doubt on his UFO story.
Certainly.
What do you think?
Well, he himself said that he was called and told, "We're going to make your life a nightmare, and we're going to do to you over a year or over the same amount of time, exactly the amount of years that you caused us damage." And those were his own words. And I can tell you, at press time, it's still a weekend here, a weekend there, flown from McCarran down to Los Al and a couple other places where he works, not to mention his private contracts with his private company. This is a guy, you know, that in the UFO
community...
Wait a
minute, Dave. Are you saying that he actually broke the trust, or this was part of a long-term disinformation?
It was part of a disinformation on one end and an information on the other.
Somebody trying to extract information from somebody else.
Exactly. Now, he himself, interestingly enough, also makes the statement that he remembered drinking a pine...
I was just going to mention that, because that was one of the first things when he first went public.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, it was John Lear himself who told me specifically that Lazar had relayed this to him, and that he could not remember then, after imbibing this mixture, whatever it was, that day at work until he was on his way home. He had a complete blank.
Right.
Now, I never knew whether this was...
Well, the
real thing, or whether this was an embellishment.
Going back into the 50s with the MK Ultra, MK Ultra turned into, even at that time, they were aware that the name Ultra was going to be added. Tonight, I happen to have it with me, but you know, I don't think we want to go into it. MK Ultra also had Chatter, Bluebird, Artichoke, Naomi, and the overall project was finally buried under MK Search. And that was all mind control.
Right.
And you're talking about mind control going back into the late 40s, early 50s. Not to mention, you know, for the listeners out there, if you just put two and two together, if they're able to control minds, blank minds, and instill libraries of information into the human brain, a brain which we use fractionally very little percentage of, you can imagine what 50 years has given them.
Now, that brings up an interesting interface. I mean, there's always, like, the Martin Cannon approach. Well, are some of these abductions actually staged events using mind control techniques? I think there is a substantial trail of evidence which says there are individual technologies, when blended together, which you could produce that kind of result.
I was going to mention Cannon now. He has been a guest on this show. He's been on this show once before, a number of
months ago, I believe, quite frankly, I think it was this past year when Martin was on. I first met Martin Cannon back in 1988. He and I agreed almost immediately to disagree. He didn't like the fact that I had been a Vietnam veteran. As a matter of fact, the first meeting I ever had with him, he called me a baby burner. Now this is like years ago. Now we since got around that. I offered after he called me a baby burner to throw him off of a balcony, but that's beside the point. But you know, Cannon has done some of the most in-depth work in that area. We've disagreed about his approach to politics and his approach to government policy as a whole, but he certainly really pulled the frogs out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
With some of these, I mean, I'll give the devil his due.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not
I mean,
to say that his whole thesis is the only answer to the abduction phenomena. Don't get us wrong. We're not outlawing it altogether and ruling it out. We're not doing that.
No, I think, you know, what again, it's balance. There's a picture being painted, and it can be influenced. Like, suppose if there are abductions taking place, and then there are pseudo-abductions taking place, how many pseudo-abductions
well,
can taint the whole database?
The control of Candy Jones, I guess,
right.
is a very important.
Right. Long John Neville's wife,
right.
who didn't even know she had been programmed and used as a courier and a killer for the CIA until she was having sleeping problems, and at the behest of her husband, who was a very famous radio personality in New York City, she went to
W-O-R.
W-O-R. And she went for therapy, and they put her under hypnosis, and this whole alternate life comes out of what she'd been doing.
One of her exact statements, which is odd enough, states under hypnosis something to the effect of the pine, again,
the smell,
a pine
smell.
Scent and
Ugh.
Odor in her passages.
Oh, all right, you guys, you're doing my time now.
Okay, well, you might be interested in this, though, and she stated that all of a sudden in the regression, she states, oh my God, what is that? Those things are ugly. I can't believe they eat this stuff. And where does that go? Who are they? Who are they that are so ugly? And
but the layers of apparent hypnosis were so deep that they had a hard time breaking through that.
Yeah.
All right, John, was there something else?
Yes, I just wanted to say that, well, remember when President Ronald Reagan said that Russia was an evil empire?
Yes.
Well, going by all the UFO information coming out in the open more and more by the people and for the people, we should all know that it's our own government. It's acting like an evil empire.
Well, there are elements within
elements,
it.
Elements, right.
Yeah, remember, when you say the government, you're not talking about a one monolithic structure. You're talking about pieces and parts.
Yeah.
Okay, John, we've got to move along, but I want to thank you for your call.
Thank you, John.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to take some more phone calls. I've got a bunch of open lines now, so go ahead, use them. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you the numbers this time. If you are in the 21... We're back. We're going right to the phones. Let's go to... Is that Claremont Falls, Oregon? Is this Douglas? Hello?
Hello.
Is this Douglas?
No, sorry. John in Manassas, Virginia.
Okay, John. Well, by golly, we'll go to you.
Okay, well, I got a question. I've been listening to you guys and seem to know what you're talking about here. The government just said something about Roswell being a top secret project that they wanted to hide from the Russians.
The balloon.
Right.
Project Mogul.
Great. Does it make sense for the commanding general or the people at that base to put a story on the wire, a cover story saying, hey, we've got a UFO?
Well, of course it doesn't. You know, you're using your head, John. That's the way... Don just hit a point, and I think before the evening ends, I can't emphasize enough. When people look at the tragedy that was the Oklahoma bombing, when people get into any subject like this, I don't care if it's this, the Kennedy assassination, the Marilyn Monroe connection to UFOs, you know, whatever your fringe element is that comes into this subject matter, invariably somebody always uses the term the government, the government, the government,
mm-hmm.
okay? People need to start thinking about what they're saying. That's why hate comes about in the form of whatever happened at Oklahoma. And I got to tell you, it's a sad state of existence that we have in this country that when the Oklahoma bombing first occurred, You know, I've talked to a few people about this. I don't know about your mind, but you know, the first thing that runs through my mind is, was it real, or was this created for a reason? Was it real, or was this brought about possibly by some deep, dark entity within? That is a horrible place to be in, and I'll tell you something. There's a great person that is taught in all of the Army War Colleges, Naval, Air Force, a philosopher, and a great military mind by the name of Sun Tzu.
Well, I'm a naval historian.
Okay, and Sun Tzu's greatest teaching to the military and all the years under him were the first and the most successful line that you can draw to militarily take over is to cause a division among the people themselves. And I quite frankly, contrary to what the people at C-SETI were saying about this world has changed and we're ready to know the truth, I'll tell you something, we've done nothing but go the opposite way. We haven't changed.
Oh, yeah, no, we're not safe. We're like a disease.
Yeah, we're more dangerous than ever. Now you don't have the Soviet Union in charge of nuclear submarines. You've got the republics in which they're based in charge of some of those.
Well, you know, Dave, I'm not a conspiratorial person. I mean, that's not to say that I don't believe that there have been conspiracies, and there are conspiracies, but I'm not paranoid.
Right.
Or I try not to be paranoid.
And neither, but I've watched the government work before. And I say the government, I don't mean that as a sweeping term. I've watched the military. I grew up in the government.
Right.
And I've watched the military work, and there are just some things that...
Well, what I'm getting at, let me just let me very quickly state this. You know, a few years ago, we had a horrible, horrible tragedy here in California where some moron, some maniac, shot up a schoolyard full of children with a semi-automatic rifle, which ultimately led to legislation outlawing such firearms. And at that time, there were some very ugly rumors going around that right literally seconds before the shooting, there was what sounded like a double tap on an automobile horn. Now, what the supposition was among some people was that this individual that shot those children in that schoolyard had been a programmed assassin,
a
Manchurian candidate.
Or a small-scale conspiracy of some sort.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, he died, didn't he? That guy died. I mean, he was killed he killed a bunch of people, and then he killed himself, did he not?
Yeah.
Yes, I believe he did, and something very similar happened down in Texas at a McDonald's restaurant, where
San Diego here at McDonald's.
Yes.
Well, in Virginia, we all have carry permits, and crime's very low.
Right.
Well, in Virginia, oddly enough, not only do you have Club Langley, but you also have a situation going on where I'm trying to remember what nationality he held. He's currently on the run. The guy that did the shootings in front of CIA.
Oh, he went back to Pakistan. I know a bit about that because my family lived in Pakistan. He ran back to his own tribe. We sent a few people out there to look, but, you know, they admitted that it was hopeless. The Pakistani government doesn't have power in the hills to go after
correct.
Somebody.
Are you aware of his connection with the shooting of Meyer Kahana?
No.
You know, interestingly enough, the same group that they're after right now with this sheikh, you know, the community terms of Santa Claus because of the hat he wears.
That basically the entire media ignored the story
and instead
chased after OJ.
Yeah. Now I don't want to say anything about, first of all, I do not endorse any terrorist group of any kind, including the JDL. But I got to tell you, at least the JDL and their charter, I'm not Jewish. But the Jewish Defense League, they came about to try to protect their interest. And
well,
Meyer Kahana,
the Black Panthers and Taylor
right,
Taylor.
Meyer Kahana, who was one of the co-founders of that group, made a statement to just a few weeks before he died, and it was a pretty incredible thing. He stated that Hitler's Germany was not destroyed during the war. Hitler's Germany went underground. And he said the biggest fear that he held is that if you're familiar with the Reinhard Gehlen group, I don't know if you are.
No.
Most of Hitler's Eastern Front intelligence bloc officers were literally, and this can be proven, brought into Florida in the case of Gehlen himself, dressed as a U.S. general, and outed it right from that plane.
But I can tell you right now, from what I've seen, as I say, I'm into naval history, it wasn't the Germans that brought anybody over. I know the records of all the submarines at the end of the war.
Oh, it was the Americans.
Einsleidai. Oh, and it was the
Operation Paperclip.
Frank Wisner.
And this has been kept a secret?
It's an open secret.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. Frank Wisner, a very big player at ONI at the time, was one of the key people that was responsible for bringing them in.
You see, the excuse that the American authorities used later was that they were so afraid of Soviet expansionism, and the Germans had such intimate contact, if you will, with the Russians, that they brought the Germans over here. An evil, nonetheless, they felt a lesser evil than the Soviets that were up and coming. Hey, we got to move along.
Thanks,
I want to thanks for your
great
call.
Show, thanks.
Thanks for your
okay.
call.
Okay, we're going to go to Grace in Los Angeles, who's calling in on Century. Grace, good evening.
Hi, how are you?
We're fine.
Listen, about 30 years ago, I was walking my dog, and I looked up in the sky, and I saw they were in formation, and they were these six sort of glowing red kind of orbs. I don't mean they were moving in the sky. I mean they were going so fast that I kind of screamed to somebody to look up, and by the time I looked back, they were gone. And that's what kind of piqued my interest in all this.
Uh-huh.
Because there was no explaining it. I mean, I know what I saw, and if you were to look at a plane and turn your head and look away and look back to the plane again, you'd still see it moving across the sky. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Because it takes you can follow a plane for a while. Well, these things were just, I can't imagine anything going that fast. And I've seen military aircraft take off from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I know how fast they go. I have some idea. But since then, I have talked to people, and it's amazing to me how many people have, like, they go, I don't like to say anything to people because everyone thinks I'm crazy, but, and they go on with these unbelievable stories, and they're not people that are, like, liars, and they're not seeking attention, and they're regular kind of working people, and it's just completely amazing to me, and I've ever since that episode, I have been very baffled as to what in the heck that was.
Hey, Grace, you know what, in case, for the fact that you say you can't bring it up because of this, you know, the infamous laughter curtain that exists around people that bring this subject up, for years in the UFO field, the field has heard, are you familiar with the Weekly World News and the National Enquirer?
Well, I don't really read that,
but you've seen the headlines. You know, everybody sees the headlines when they go through their supermarket checkout.
Oh yeah, it's just garbage.
Okay, the UFO community has always, as a whole, said, well, you know, the government's behind that, the intelligence agencies are behind that. If you want to look back to October, I believe it's October or September, possibly. I have had it here in front of me and lost it. Smithsonian Magazine. Now, I don't think that's a source that too many people would want to question. Has a very good article on the tabloids and the birth of. And interestingly enough, the father of a National Enquirer as well as the Weekly World News was a guy by the name of Generoso Paul Pope Jr., whom had formerly worked for CIA, mentioned in the Smithsonian article. And the Smithsonian article also goes into the fact about how he couldn't even get these things on the newsstand until he had a private dinner with President Nixon during the Nixon administration. And after that dinner, I'll be darned if those things weren't in every major supermarket and store you could imagine.
Thank you very much. Hope you enjoyed this edition of Don Echo Live.
Well, that's Larry King. Well, we still have a minute or so.
Ask you one more question?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead, Grace.
I just want to know, you know, just very recently, in the last few weeks, they've been talking about the new Planet 51 that was discovered.
Right.
Is there any connection between this Area 51 being named? I mean, why is that called Area 51?
Well, it's just kind of a synchronicitous type of a thing, Grace. We'll know one day, we hope. But until that time, I would just alert you to the fact, notice in the future how prevalent the numbers 51, 44, and 22 are going to be.
Okay.
Thank you. 54, 12, wasn't it? Okay, Grace, thank you very much. Bye-bye. Okay, you know, we're practically out of time, guys. It's obvious that this is going to have to be repeated here in the next couple of weeks. We're going to have to do another show. Just too much information here. That's it. Next week, we're going to be back with another edition of UFOs Tonight. I want to thank both my guests, Bill Bridges, Dave Torelli, for coming in tonight. Dwight Schultz should be back, if the good Lord is willing, and the river don't rise next Saturday. Remember, have a safe Halloween, keep those eyes pointed to the skies, and remember, we love you.
Hope the Kennedys have that enemy, David, but another two. But that smoking gun ain't the only one firing when the bullets flew. Train the sheep, they're lying to you and me. It's a conspiracy. They have a rate secretly. Control what you hear and see.
World Championship Wrestling presents Halloween Havoc.
In a first time ever, machine versus machine.